now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody doing out there today? Pretty good week so far? Yeah. It's pretty good week on my end as well. I mean, we've been having some football. I got to do a little, I told y'all my bad on some of this football action. Yeah, it's been a crazy week. But this past week, we got somewhat of a football history lesson. I'll get a little more into it a little later on. And I also get into Fat Boys of the NBA. Yeah, let's talk about it on the Commissioner's Conversation.
Commissioner Gordon.
Fat Boys of the NBA, man. Listen. I know y'all are like, what the hell are you talking about? Well, a few of my guys, we always sit around and we chop it up. We go back and forth about Luka Doncic. And me personally, I'm a fan of Luka. I think he could play. But when we get into it and we start talking about Luka and all the things that he's capable of and how great, quote unquote, he is, I come across and I start to sound like a hater. Because all the time, it always reverts back to the whole Luka and Trey thing. You know what I'm saying? And I won't even go into it, but I think each team got the player that fit the franchise. And I'll just leave it at that. I think Trey is right for Atlanta. And I think Luka is right for Dallas. But lately we've been watching the games and we've been, you know, kind of noticing that Luka's been a little heavier, you know, than he usually is. And not to say, but Luka's a big guy already. And to say that the dude is already a little bit heavier than what he usually is, it's kind of saying something. And me, you know, I always have this motto of guys who can't, who like 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", and you fill out and you have trouble keeping that weight down, that 9 times out of 10, if you can't get your weight under control, that weight is going to turn around and bother you in terms of injuries. It's usually going to be a lower body injury. It's going to be a foot, an ankle. It's going to be a knee, a hip, maybe even a lower back. But you're going to have injury issues, and it's going to bother you all the way up until you fix that weight, and even possibly after. So after Dallas played the Brooklyn Nets the other day, Luka kind of confirmed what we were talking about. Like, he pretty much said that he was out of shape. And even during the game, if you watch the game, Reggie Miller was making comments basically talking about Luka's weight and how he was running up and down the court. And he was saying, like, he was plodding up and down the court. He was running heavy. And he was basically saying he's going to have to get his weight in check. He was saying all of this stuff during the basketball game. And at the post-game presser, they started asking Luka about his conditioning. And he kind of went through it and basically said, I know I got to do better. I had a long summer. I had the Olympics. I took a couple weeks off. I took 3 weeks off and relaxed a little. Maybe a little too much. But I've got to get back on track. And so he's acknowledging the fact that, hey, man, I didn't come into this season in shape. He said, I took 3 weeks off and I relaxed a little bit, and maybe it was a little bit too much, right? And so I started doing some digging. I looked around and I was like, well, let me see what do they have him listed as? If you go to NBA.com, NBA.com has Luka Doncic listed as 6'7", 230. I'm like, all right. So I kept doing a little bit more research. And I looked around, and ESPN had announced that Luka showed up for the season over 260 pounds. And this wasn't the first time he'd done it. This was his second year in a row showing up north of 260. And then you look at that and you say, well, what does that effect does that have on him? And like I told you, he's been battling an ankle injury. He's set up to have an MRI on Friday to see how bad it is. Does he need to sit out an extended amount of time? And I told you about the guys having weight issues or not taking it seriously and then having the injuries. And Luka has been one of those guys who basically said he's been quoted in saying that he plays his way into shape during the season. So it looks like he's not very disciplined during the offseason. The only reason why he had any discipline whatsoever during the offseason was the fact that he was playing for the Olympics. And then he came back, he took damn near a month off, and, you know, he probably partied, had beers. What is he, about a 22, 23-year-old kid? Had beers, had drinks, had a great time or whatever. And said, I'll play my way into shape. Came back to the league, and then, boom, you have an ankle injury. And like I said, you have an MRI on Friday. But I said all of that to say, for all the greatness debates that we have about Luka Doncic, all the baby birds and all the comparisons that you have to Luka Doncic about how great he should be and how he's the next guy in line to take over the league, all of these things that people have, you know, they kind of jump off the boat prematurely, in my opinion, to say about Luka Doncic. None of this stuff will come to fruition if he doesn't get his weight in check. It won't. Like, if he doesn't get his weight in order, if he doesn't take this stuff seriously, he'll never be the Larry Bird Jr. He'll never be the next LeBron James. He'll never be the next face of the franchise. Because you know what I don't hear LeBron doing? I don't hear about LeBron playing his way into damn shape. In fact, they've talked about how he spent so much money in the offseason keeping himself in shape. Coming in looking fit, trim, and in top-notch condition so that he can avoid being injured. And he's avoided being injured all the way up until the time when he's 36, 37 years old. Now he starts getting injured because he's old. But before that, the dude was a damn machine. And we never heard about any injuries. Yeah, you got the knick-knack, I rolled my ankle, got a little slight tweak of my hamstring or whatever. But nothing that has held him out for an extended period of time. And here we are looking at Luka as he's talking about he has to have an MRI on Friday for his ankle. Yeah. I feel like beatboxing because I said the Fat Boys. I don't want to do that to you, though. You know, that's a little super old school. I might have Reese impose a little something, you know, in the background while I talk about the next Fat Boy. Yes, you already know. When I said Fat Boys of the NBA, you already had this dude in mind because it's already been reported by ESPN that Zion Williamson is currently 330 damn pounds. And if you're thinking about it, like, okay, 330 pounds, that's 70 pounds over his playing weight. Now, I told you Luka showed up north of 260. Zion's playing weight is 260, to show you how big, what kind of big guy he is. I saw a picture of him basically walking off the court in a red tracksuit during the game or before the game. I don't know when it was the other day. And I basically said to my people, it looked like Zion is signing up to be Santa Claus in the mall this year. Because that's what he looked like. He was in this red outfit. All you saw was gut and belly. All he needed was a beard and a little hat. But again, to tell you my theory, Zion has been out. He's been out injured as many games, if not more, than he's actually suited up and played. I think they said something like, I don't have the stat right in front of me, but I think they said something like 82 or 85 games he's been out injured. And that's about the same amount of games that he's actually played. But he's been battling a foot injury. I told you, these big guys, you get big, man. You can't run up when you are heavier than your body will allow. You can't run up and down the floor, jump up and down the floor, defend, bang bodies against other dudes that are your same size, height and weight, all of these things, and expect to be healthy every day. You know where that happens? And injuries are frequent to where we know that they're going to happen? In damn football. Football, guys are 260, 270, and they run into each other all the time. And when they get injured, we're like, we understand. But if you come in shape in basketball, it's not a it's become less of a contact sport. So as long as you're doing what the hell you're supposed to be doing body-wise, you should have and can have the longevity. And people have tried to use this they've used this rumor of he's using this to try to get traded out of New Orleans. I don't think that's the case, personally. I don't believe that's what it is. Like I told you, he's already a big dude. He was in college. He was at Duke. And they were talking about he was one of, at that current weight. And you're talking about an 18-year-old kid in optimal and prime shape. He was already heavier than about 75-80% of the dudes in the league. In most of the damn league. And now, you're sitting around. You're in New Orleans. You're probably not disciplined on your diet. You can't work out properly because you have a foot injury. And all you're doing is packing on weight to the point where you're 330 pounds. But something is going to have to happen. Again, Zion is one of those guys where we talked about he was supposed to be the next. We compared him to LeBron. We compared him to a bunch of other guys and said he could be the face of the franchise. He could be the face of the league. He's got Nike commercials, Gatorade commercials, Mountain Dew commercials, all of this stuff. A lot of people have invested a lot of money into Zion, and it'll all be for damn nothing if he can't get his weight under control. And it's getting crazy because it's to the point where it's becoming a joke in the NBA. And it's not just on social media, because social media, you know, you guys, y'all dudes, y'all can be kind of cruel. Y'all superimpose his face on the other people's bodies. Y'all Photoshop and stretch the picture out to make him look super wide. You know, y'all can do all kind of crazy stuff on the internet these days. But it's not just there. I was watching Inside the NBA the other day on TNT, and Charles Barkley made the joke. Charles Barkley said that Zion Williamson looked like he and Shaq had a baby. See what I'm saying? Last week, I told you that the league moves on. It does not stand still for anybody. Like, that goes for injuries. That goes for attitude. That goes for you sitting out, you know, being suspended. That goes for abuse problems, whether it's, you know, addiction or whatever. The league does not stand still. It does not wait. Every year, there's a brand new crop of guys who are trying to be the next. Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, whoever. There's a whole group of guys. And sometimes, yeah, they're going to fall short. They're going to be some terrible draft classes. But that does not stop people from working every day so that they can be in the money, first of all, and on a championship squad, second of all, and then receive the accolades, the awards, the all-star appearances, the MVPs. Dudes are constantly working every day, and just because your name is such and such, Zion or Luka, don't think that this shit is going to be given to you, because it's not. You'll look up one day and you'll be a whatever happened to. So you have to get this stuff under control. Because like I said, the league moves on. But what Zion has to do, what Luka has to do, is move on to some discipline. Move away from the kitchen table.
Commissioner Gordon.
Keeping it in the NBA, man, I want to quickly talk about the Portland Trail Blazers. Because Portland has been in the NBA media far more than they want to be. Like, for the past few days, I've been seeing a lot of Portland, and none of it has been exciting news. And first of all, and most importantly, I'll start with this. CJ McCollum is out indefinitely after being diagnosed with a collapsed right lung. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. I did not stay in the Holiday Inn Express. I have no idea of the time frame for a collapsed lung. But I personally would assume this man is going to be out for the rest of the season. I could be wrong. I don't know. Don't quote me on any of this. It might be a month. I don't know. But I would assume, with as serious as it sounds, collapsed lung, you're going to sit down for a minute. So, Portland has him sitting down indefinitely. And they've also, you know, they have Dame sitting down right now. Dame is sitting down with a lower ab injury, which ain't no punk itself. I don't know if you've ever felt like you pulled something in your abs, but that's your core. And you ain't going nowhere. You can't laugh. You can't stretch. You can't move. It's not hard. It's not easy to stand up. It's not easy to do a whole lot of movements once you've pulled or strained your lower abdomen. But this is the injury bug that has hit Portland like crazy, because my boy Anthony Simons, he is out with an ankle injury. Nasir Little, he's out with an ankle sprain. And I don't know what's going to become of Portland, because first of all, let me get it out of the way. I hope that CJ McCollum has a speedy recovery, regardless of basketball. Once again, like I said, a collapsed lung doesn't sound like anything minor. So beyond just basketball, just health related, period. I hope he's okay. I hope he gets taken care of and he's on his way to recovery. Now, bringing it back to Portland, there's also been, you know, more Dame Lillard news all over the internet, social media, all over the place. And it's basically like I equated to Dame is asking for help, man. It's really all it is. Dame is asking for some damn help. Because it started with him saying allegedly that he wouldn't mind playing with Ben Simmons. And if you follow me on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon, if you follow me on Instagram, I put up in my stories and I posted it up where it was the quote saying I wouldn't mind playing with Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons liked the post. So at that point in time, I thought that maybe there was something to it. Not knowing what we know now about CJ McCollum, I thought, okay, well, maybe there may be a deal brewing for a swap between CJ McCollum, maybe a couple draft picks, maybe a couple guys off the bench, some expiring contracts, whatever, and you bring Ben Simmons over to the Portland Trail Blazers. Then it turned out there was another report where Dame basically said he wanted to play with defensive-minded wings. And he listed Ben Simmons, he listed Jaylen Brown, he listed Aaron Gordon. And like I said, bro, I don't know about you, but Dame just wants some damn help. Like, the man listed Aaron Gordon. You know how bad you want to have some help for you to say, I want Aaron Gordon on my team? And not to shit on Aaron Gordon like he's a bad player or nothing. He's a good player. But when's the last time you said to yourself or you heard anybody else say, you know the piece that can take us over the hump? Whew. Man, all we need is a dude like Aaron Gordon. Right. You ain't ever said that shit. You know why? Because ain't nobody said that shit. But Dame said that shit. Dame said he wanted a defensive-minded wing like Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons, or Aaron Gordon. And now, if you think about it, now with CJ McCollum out, like I just said, he was their trade piece. He was the trade bait. Portland can't make any of this happen. Because why am I trading for a guy who I know has a collapsed lung? I'm not bringing that in on my team. You're not going to sell me some bull. You're not selling me some lemons. Not going to bring me some cars out the junkyard, shine them up, and tell me I got some Ferraris. No. But he was the piece. He was the guy that was going to possibly make Dame happy. He was the piece that Portland was going to move to try to keep Dame in good favor and keep him in place. But now they don't have anything. I'll encourage you to look at the roster and tell me, what would you take from Portland's team for Jaylen Brown? What would you take for Ben Simmons? Even though Philadelphia would love to get rid of Ben Simmons, they're not going to take a ham sandwich for him. They're trying to compete. We talked about this before. They want somebody to come in that could help them contend for a championship trophy this season. A draft pick doesn't do a damn thing for the Philadelphia 76ers. It doesn't. So as much as maybe Dame would like to get that deal done, for as much as maybe Ben Simmons would like to get that deal done, for as much as Rich Paul might like to get that deal done, it probably ain't gonna happen because Philly ain't going for it. Because you don't have a damn thing we want. In fact, we want Dame. I'll give you Ben Simmons for Dame. How does he feel about playing with Joel Embiid? Damn, how you feel about playing with Ben Simmons? So, Philly is probably out. And if you think about it, Boston is going to be out too, because ultimately, if you're Portland, you're banking on the fact that Boston is done with the whole Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum experience, and they're ready to give up on that. But once again, what are they getting back in return? If I'm giving you Jaylen Brown, what am I bringing back? Because I believe Boston they're not rebuilding. They didn't do all this shuffling around, hiring a new head coach, moving Brad Stevens up. They didn't do all this stuff to rebuild. So what are you going to give me that makes me a contender today, that makes me better or feel better about my team than I feel now with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? And you don't have the pieces. You would basically be hoping that they would be rebuilding and they would take a draft pick, two draft picks, and some scrub players, some expiring contracts, whatever. You would be hoping that's what they would be doing. They would go into ultra Danny Ainge mode again, to where they're just stockpiling picks. And I don't think they're there. I think they believe that they're still a playoff contending team. And if you're a playoff contending team, The Hawks have shown you that all you got to do is get to the dance and you can make a run. Because players get injured, players get sick, players get COVID. Anything can happen. And the team and this team beats a team that they're not supposed to beat. So now we thought we might have been facing a big bag juggernaut. Now we got a team that we match up well with. Anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. Yes, I know it's a 7-game series, and yes, I know it's usually set up for the better team to win. But we've seen that that isn't always the case. Phoenix, who thought Phoenix was going to be there at the end? Right? So like I said, anything can happen once you get to the playoffs. You catch fire. You come together as a group. You find a mismatch here and there, and you can win games. And Boston feels like they can win some damn games. So, I don't see any of this stuff happening for Portland, especially now the fact that CJ McCollum is down. And that brings me back to the circle that I was just saying about the Philly trade. It seems like what's ultimately going to have to happen is Portland is going to have to trade Dame.
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Christmas is around the corner, and guess what you can do? You can holler at my people at 323 Custom Apparel, and they will hook you up with your favorite Christmas apparel. Y'all want to dress up like Santa and the elves? Guess what? They got you. They can put you in the game. You want to have your hoodie decorated in Christmas lights? Guess what? They can do it. All you got to do is go to at 323_custom_apparel. Tell them what you want. Ask them if they have any ideas. Maybe you can collab. And once you do that, you go out here and you wear your clothing. You go to the holiday party. You go to the office holiday spread, the ugly sweater contest, all of these things, and you can do it in your 323 custom apparel, hoodie, sweater, t-shirt, whatever. Because I say t-shirt because, you know, we're in Georgia, man. It ain't super cold all the time. I think it was like 65 earlier today. But you go to my people at 323 custom apparel, they'll put you in the game. All you got to do is holler at them, and they will make your clothing your statement.
Commissioner Gordon.
So, really quickly, I have a college football, I told y'all, and my bad. Reese Boogie, hit the music.
It's time for...
Yeah, all right. You was right, I was wrong.
Told y'all, y'all better believe it.
Hey, man, listen. I told y'all that UGA was gonna have trouble when they had to score points on demand. When the pressure was on and the defense couldn't just keep stopping and shutting down the other team, where you only have like 3 points in the first quarter. When they couldn't do that, someone made the adjustments and figured out how to put up points on the Georgia defense. They were going to have hell on their hands trying to figure out how to put up points on the offensive end. And what happened? They came out. They faced Alabama. For whatever reason, the number one defense in the land did not look like the number one defense in the land. And Alabama threw the ball all around the field over on Georgia. They didn't get the pressure that they wanted to get. They couldn't get the stops that they wanted to get. And Alabama put up points. And when it came to the other end of the football, when Georgia had the ball, Stetson Bennett wasn't making the plays. And everybody's coming down on it. And everybody's saying now what I said then. Why didn't they give JT Daniels some reps? Why didn't they try to put in play JT Daniels? And now it's going to be up to Kirby to wash this memory away from the UGA Bulldog Nation. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have to beat Michigan. And then you're going to turn around. You're going to have to beat Alabama, more than likely, in the national championship game. And I don't know if you have to pull the same stunt he did with Tua and Jalen Hurts years before, but you're going to have to do something, and you're going to have to win the national championship, or there's going to be a lot of questions raised. In the my bad section, hey man, my bad. I told y'all that the committee was going to look for any way possible to screw Cincinnati out of the college football playoffs, and I still think they would have. And it took mayhem happening for Cincinnati to actually get in. Cincinnati won their conference. Oklahoma State lost to Baylor. Had Oklahoma State won, Cincinnati probably would have been out. And Notre Dame lost their damn coach. You couldn't put in Notre Dame because you don't know. Well, you know who the coach is. He's the young guy coming up. But the committee had already said once Brian Kelly left that they were going to penalize Notre Dame for not having their head coach. So all kind of madness happened all around Cincinnati, and they were just looked around like the little meme, like, this is fine. And they slid on in to the college football playoffs. I don't know what they're going to look like against Alabama, but this is their shot. I'm hoping for a good game, because I hope that if they have a good showing, that the committee will be willing to give some of these other smaller non-Power 5 teams a shot at the big dance, a shot at the big trophy. Because otherwise, I think I've mentioned it here before, if they're only going to reserve this for the Power 5 conferences, then what they need to do is start telling the Big South and the Big Sky and all these, and the AAC and all these other, the Sun Belt, all these other conferences, that they need to form their own branch. They need to form their own league, because this trophy is reserved for the Big Ten, is reserved for the SEC, for the ACC, for the Pac-12. You know, it's reserved. So in that, I hope Cincinnati does well, so that they can kind of keep the door open for the rest of the mid-majors.
Commissioner Gordon.
I mentioned to you earlier that we got a football history lesson. And I only say that because the New England Patriots gave us that history lesson as they defeated the Buffalo Bills 14-10 in a blistering wind blizzard of a game, to where basically New England ran the ball 46 times for 222 yards and only threw the ball three times for 19 yards. Mac Jones actually completed two of the three passes for 19 yards. And I say it's a history lesson because I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game, man. And I just keep watching New England just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, and run the ball, to the point where they only threw one pass the whole first half. I told you they only threw three passes, so hell, that means they threw two passes in the second half. And I'm like, bruh, do something. Load the box. Put together a run blitz package. Do something. Stop the damn run. And Buffalo could not. They were, I'm not going to say that New England was gouging them, but they were running the ball effectively. Effectively enough that they didn't have to pass the damn football. And I got to thinking, like, damn. Not to say that this is boring, but this is what football must have been like prior to, like, the forward pass. You know what I'm saying? This is what it would have looked like. But I don't really think I like this. Like, there's only one guy that needs to be athletic on the field. You know what I'm saying? Catch my drift? So I kind of could understand why they didn't have a whole lot of us playing football back then. Because you only needed one athletic dude. If you got your good athletic white dude, what we need old Leon for? We got Elroy. Sorry, don't mind me. But I got to thinking, like, damn, man, like, this is much what it must have been like. And you start looking, go back, and you look at some of those old films of Notre Dame, or even don't even go back that far. I mean, come up, bring it back up to like Johnny Unitas. They weren't throwing like 30 passes a game. They were only throwing the ball like 10, 12 times a game at the most. And still, it's boring. So I appreciate whoever input the rule about the forward pass, who the first dude who said, hey man, I could actually advance this ball by having this dude split out wide, stay on the line, beat his defender, and catch the football down the field, thus making a way for more athletic people to play on the football field. I salute to you, and I thank you, because you, sir, made the game an exciting one. Otherwise, we just got a bunch of dudes pushing and shoving on each other while one dude trying to find the hole. Pause. But like I said, it wasn't like this grand scheme that Bill Belichick thought of, like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm just gonna run the damn football. It was by force, and it wasn't by force that Buffalo just had the wide receivers on lock. They just had the clamps on the receivers. It was due to the weather, as I mentioned earlier. It was a damn blizzard out there for most of the day. The winds were up to like 40, 50, 55, 60 miles an hour, to the point where the punter caught the ball one point in time, let the ball go down to his foot, and from the time it left his hand to it hit his foot, the wind had carried it over to the right, and he shanked it for like a 15-yard punt. So the wind was out there, and the wind was booming, so it wasn't no passing, man. Like, Josh Allen for Buffalo has a nice arm, but even him, he was making adjustments to passes, and they threw the ball one time down the field to Stephon Diggs. And I think Stephon kind of lost the ball a little bit, but they only threw one deep pass. And you're talking about Josh Allen, who's supposed to be a guy with a cannon. So it was by force. And I say that because Buffalo Bills coach Sean McDermott basically showed up, and he got at the press conference. He was all kind of salty and in his feelings when they asked, you know, how genius, you know, asked about the genius of Bill Belichick. And he basically tried to say that he didn't want to give Belichick any credit. You know, I think we're overdoing it. I'm not going to quote him word for word. But he basically said, you know, let's slow down on, you know, the genius of Bill Belichick. They didn't do anything special. And I'm thinking to myself, like, fool, you should be bigging him up. You should be crowning him. You should be calling him the genius. You should be calling him the GOAT. Because otherwise, if he didn't do anything special, if all he was doing was handing the ball off and running it, you look like a terrible coach because you can't stop the run. How can, that's the first part of football. The most elementary part of football is being able to run the ball and being able to stop the run. Those are the bones of football. And you couldn't do that. So you telling me he didn't do nothing special, but you couldn't stop it? It sounds like an indictment on yourself. I say that to say, listen, I remember, okay, I got a quick story for you. In college, I, like most other males, I'll say, of college age, me and my boys, we all played in Madden. We played Madden. And we all played. We would bet little money here. We would do little, you know, we would rag each other. We would have little tournaments. We would do all sorts of crazy things to entertain ourselves while we're in the middle of nowhere in Statesboro, Georgia. But we're playing Madden. And one friend of mine basically tells me, before he's about to play another dude that we know, he was like, "Dude is so sorry. Watch me. I'm going to run this play." And it was like an off tackle. It was either an off tackle or a dive. I can't really remember. He was like, "I'm going to run this play every down. Every play. And I bet I still win." Not like, man, get the hell out of here. He ain't that damn sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, can't nobody be that sorry. Like, you're going to run the same play over and over and over and over and over again, and you still believe that you're going to win the game. He's like, yes. So I'm watching the game, and first quarter happens, and the second quarter happens, and he's still running the same play. Still running the same play. Still doing the same thing. And the dude he's playing can't stop it. And I'm sitting here losing my mind because I want to tell him to play or to play that you can do to stop it. But he's not doing it. So he's getting 5 yards a pop, 6 yards here, 8 yards there. He's going, and eventually he gets into the end zone. If it was a dive, every now and then he'd bounce it out. You know what I'm saying? He might have the hole plugged up. He bounced it out. If it was off tackle, you know what I'm saying? He just come off and he might bounce it out, or, you know what I'm saying, cut back one way or the other. Whatever the play was, he might tweak it a little bit because the hole is stopped up, but he's still running the same play over and over. And we called the dude a terrible name for the rest of our duration at school. Like, basically, if his name was Ed, let's just say we called him Shitty E. Because he was terrible. You can't stop one play. And this is where I bring it back to Sean McDonald. Yes, you saying he wasn't doing anything genius? Well, if he's not a genius, then you're sorry. You're Shitty McD.
Commissioner Gordon.
Hey, y'all, guess what? The Detroit Lions won a football game. I wish I had, like, the applause button where everybody goes crazy. Like, ah! Yeah, Detroit won a damn game. Jared Goff went out there and he threw a pass to the end zone to Amon-Ra St. Brown for the touchdown. As time winding down. That all rhymes. As time winding down against the Minnesota Vikings, and they won 29-27. This was Detroit's win, first win of the entire season. They had been 0-10-1 before this. That also ended a 15-game losing streak, which spanned for 364 days. Pretty much an entire calendar year, the Detroit Lions did not win football game. Yeah. Even old Jared Goff, he himself had lost like 12 games in a row. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's supposed to be this number one pick drafted by the LA Rams, and he lost 12 straight. And so that was, like, I think they said the longest streak for a QB taking number one, like the longest losing streak for a quarterback taking number one, which you can make any damn thing a streak or a record or whatever if you break it down far enough. But with that being said, he lost 12 games in a row, and that was the longest streak for a quarterback which had been drafted number one. So he didn't look terrible. He didn't look bad. He actually looked like a competent quarterback. Like, there's some games where Jared Goff is out here and he's looking like he's a part of the Detroit Lions. Like, he's not the cure for the Detroit Lions, but he's part of the problem. But this week, he actually looked pretty damn decent. He threw for 296 yards, 3 touchdowns, and only 1 pick. And at the end of the game, the Lions dedicated the game ball to the Oxford community. And if you aren't aware, the Oxford community just recently had a school shooting where a young man, a football player, I think he actually ran up and kind of sacrificed himself and was killed and jumped on the shooter. And so they dedicated the game ball to the Oxford community. It's, I wouldn't call it necessarily a suburb of Detroit, but it's like 45 minutes away, to my understanding. But yeah, so that was, you know, that was the thing. So one time again, three cheers for the Lions. Hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray. Excuse me. A few more NFL notes before we get started with the predictions. Did y'all know the Washington football team has now won 4 games in a row? Yeah. I know that because I predicted that they would lose this past week. I also predicted that the Miami Dolphins would lose. Maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't predict the Miami Dolphins to lose. But the Miami Dolphins have won 5 games in a row. Also, if you are making predictions, you're making wagers, or you're doing anything of the sort, I need you to understand that the Los Angeles Chargers may be without both top wide receivers, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, as they both were placed on the COVID list. They were placed at different times, so one may be coming back before the other, depending on the vaccination. And also, cornerback Chris Harris Jr. was also placed on the COVID list. And so, I think this is a terrible time. I have to check. We're going to get to who the Chargers are playing this week, and that will impact my prediction, and I'm sure it will impact yours. Also, the New Orleans Saints have put running back Mark Ingram on the COVID list, as well as their defensive end Cameron Jordan. So once again, if you're a Saints fan or you're looking to bet with or against the Saints, know that Mark Ingram and Cameron Jordan are on the COVID protocol list. So I have to go back and make sure of what I said. Yes, I predicted Washington to lose against the Raiders. I thought the Raiders would win. I also predicted that the I predicted the Miami Dolphins would beat the Giants. I did not go for the Giants. In fact, let me tell you, I was 8-6. I'm so sick of these damn predictions, dog. Like, and let's be honest, like, some of this stuff, like, I predicted that Baltimore would win. It took a play at the end of the game to lose to the Steelers. Like, I predicted that the Bills would beat New England. It took a damn blizzard and 50 miles an hour winds and nobody could throw the ball for the Patriots to beat the Bills. But I'm not going to go through the entire loss section. What I will do now, like I said, I was 8-6, still above 500, still making plays out here in these streets. But what I'm going to do is go ahead and tell you my predictions for week 14. Tonight, Thursday night football, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to say the Steelers take 2 in a row. They just beat Baltimore. I think they beat the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings, I believe, are down. Thielen is out. I believe James Cook is out. Yeah, so I like the Steelers in this one. The Ravens against the Browns. Going with the Ravens. The Jaguars are taking on the Tennessee Titans. I like the Titans. The Raiders are taking on the Chiefs. I picked the Raiders probably about the last two weeks, man, and they let me down bad. I'm not picking them again against the Chiefs. I like Kansas City. The New Orleans Saints against the New York Jets. I'm rooting for the Jets, man, but something in my heart just won't let me pick the Jets. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of degenerate would I be if I, you know what I'm saying, if I bet on the Jets? I'm going with the Saints in this one. Saints over the Jets. In the primetime Sunday 1 o'clock matchup, the Washington football team takes on the Dallas Cowboys. What did I just tell you? That the Washington football team has won 4 in a row? I think Dallas puts it together, ends that streak. I'm going with the Cowboys. The Atlanta Falcons are taking on the Carolina Panthers in Carolina, and both squads are 5-7. Atlanta, I won't say they're playing like trash, but Carolina ain't. Both of them, I want to say, are playing terrible football. Christian McCaffrey's out. I think Cam is starting. I'm not sure. And if he is, I'm not sure why. Damn it, I'm going with the Falcons. Give me Matty Ice. Give me goddamn Cordarrelle Patterson. Hopefully Kyle Pitts can make something happen. Give me them damn Falcons. Seattle Seahawks are taking on the Houston Texans. Seattle just put a win together last week. And this week, I think they'll put together two. So I'm taking Seattle over the Houston Texans. The Detroit Lions are taking on the Denver Broncos. I want to, for as bad as I want to root for Detroit because they play hard and they're like lovable losers, I don't think they beat Denver. I don't think they beat Denver. I don't think they can put it together. I don't think they have it in them to put together back-to-back wins. And this may come back to bite me in my ass. And I might be talking about this on I Told You, My Bad. But I don't think the Detroit Lions have it in them to put together back-to-back wins. So I am taking the Denver Broncos. The New York Giants are taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. Remember what I just told you? Everybody's out damn near for the Chargers, especially in the receiving room. But I still can't take the Giants, man. I don't see anything that makes me want to go and say the Giants are going to win this game. I think they pull up guys off of the scrap heap and off the practice unit, and they make some plays, and they beat the New York Giants. 49ers take on the Cincinnati Bengals. Whew. This is at 4:25. This is a tough game to call. I am going to go with. I'm going with Cincinnati. I'm going with the Cincinnati Bengals on this one. Another tough game to call at 4:25. This 4:25 slot got some football being played. The Buffalo Bills are taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This game probably won't be a blizzard because they're playing in Tampa Bay. If it's a blizzard in Tampa Bay, then damn it, you know, I put on Zion Williamson's Santa Claus outfit. I'm going Tampa Bay. Chicago Bears are going to Green Bay and they're trying to redeem themselves from Aaron Rodgers saying that he owns them. And I don't think they can take ownership away from Aaron. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers beat the Chicago Bears in the Sunday night football game. On Monday, the Los Angeles Rams are taking on Arizona Cardinals. And this is the game that I'm going to be watching closely because it's going to tell me a lot about both squads. It's going to tell me a lot about both squads, whether they're both contenders or pretenders, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think we talked about this before. I'm not fully sold on the Arizona Cardinals. I know, they're 10-2. I know that even without Kyler Murray, they found ways to win. I know even without Nuke Hopkins, they found a way to win. I know. But something about them just won't make me get on that bandwagon. But I say that to say, I think they beat the Rams here. And that's going to do it for week 14 predictions from the commissioner, from Commissioner Gordon. And I encourage you to have fun, watch the games this week. When you sit down and you watch the games, whether you're at a sports bar, whether you're at a friend's house, whether you're at home by yourself, I encourage you to watch the game and enjoy it with a bottle of Greenwood whiskey. Greenwood whiskey is great alone. It's great with friends. Greenwood whiskey is celebration whiskey. Anytime you want to celebrate, pop open the bottle and let the good times roll. Greenwood whiskey. Enjoy yourself some. Drink responsibly. Until next week, this has been the Commissioner's Conversation. I'll holla.
Okay, bye.